You are listening to the weekly message from Mount Helena Community Church. Celebration services are every Sunday at 10 a.m. at the Gateway Center. Or join us live online at www.mounthelena.cc.
Well, tomorrow's a big day. Open your gifts. Spend time with family and friends. Eat good food. Enjoy company. Then the day after Christmas, National Return All Your Ugly Christmas Gifts Day. It's like a big sigh that happens the day after Christmas. I don't know if it's like that for you, but it's like once you get through Christmas, it's just, oh, there's just so much busyness going on and so much expectation and lots of family and activity. And my wife is busy cooking frequently in the house. And there's just a little bit of a sigh of relief when it's over. I think we can get a little bit numb during the Christmas season. For goodness sake, they put out the decorations in July or something like that now. You walk into Walmart and there's Christmas decorations and swim shorts, you know. It's like, doesn't make sense to me. It's become so commercialized, and of course I'm glad you're here with me today to celebrate the real reason that we have Christmas. I was thinking about the simplicity of the message, and we sang some of the songs today about just the simple way that this radical story began in a manger to a poor family in Israel, and all the stories that come with it, the shepherds and the wise men. And I just love the story. And the gospel itself is simple. Somebody lost their bracelet. Here you go. It's right here. Oh. And the simplicity of our gospel, you guys, we have a very good news. We have a hope. And it's not a complicated one. It's not difficult. It's simple. And perhaps the most profound scripture that we see that a lot of us memorized when we were kids was John 3:16. Probably the best summary of the gospel, the basic truth of the scriptures. Some of you only know John 3:16 because there's somebody behind the goalposts every Sunday on football, on TV, holding the John 3:16 sign. Well, if you ever wondered what that actually says, we're going to look at that today. I've wondered how many people have gotten saved from the John 3:16 in the football games. I'm not sure. For God so loved the world. God so loved the world. The thing that sticks out to me about this line is that God was motivated to send Jesus Christ to the earth by love. That's what motivated him. That's what prompted him to do it. And does that challenge your view of who God is? Do you see your God is a God that's motivated by love? Sometimes I think we kind of have the natural tendency to see him as a God that's motivated by other things, anger, frustration. Aren't you glad it doesn't say God got so frustrated with the world that he sent his son? Aren't you glad it doesn't say that? Is that the God that you know? Is that the God that you know? A God that loves the world so much. And he loved the world, didn't he? I think there's a worldly system, and sometimes we're like, we don't want to be, you know, corrupted by the world and those kinds of things we talk about, but sometimes we forget that God so loved the world. He didn't just so love the Jews. He didn't just so love the good people. He didn't just so love the bad people. He loved the world so much. God's motive for Jesus is love. That he gave his only son. That he gave his only son. The scripture is interesting, and Jason mentioned one of them this morning, but do you know that Jesus existed before he came? Jesus wasn't created at Christmas. He was sent. He was given by God. Jason read the passage in John chapter 1, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him not a thing was made. Not anything made that was made. That's a mouthful. In Him was life. In Him was life, and that life is the light of men. There's light in the world today because of what Jesus has done. God gave Jesus like the greatest Christmas gift, the first Christmas gift, and the greatest gift ever. The light for mankind. We sing that song, Emmanuel. We sang it last week. And we know there's a scripture in Isaiah that foretells the coming of Jesus. His name will be Emmanuel, meaning God with us. That word Emmanuel means God with us. And that's unique to our gospel. It's unique that our God would humble Himself to being in the flesh, becoming one of us, becoming like us. The book of Hebrews says that He can sympathize with our weakness because He became like one of us. Where do you read stories of supernatural deity that would make themselves human just to identify with us? So not only is God motivated by love, but He leads us an example by being humble, humbling Himself and becoming flesh, that He might be like one of us, understanding us and our suffering. And the book of Hebrews then teaches us that because Jesus rose from the dead and is now in heaven, He's a high priest that can identify with our weaknesses. What a powerful, moving reality that God would decide that it was best that He become like one of us, that He send His Son in flesh to take our place. We also know that later in this passage that John the Baptist says about Jesus, he says, "The one that comes after me surpasses me because he was before me." That He is God. Jesus said, and this got him in some hot water, said, Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." And at that point, the Jews picked up stones to stone Him because in their minds He had blasphemed, saying that He was God, saying that before Abraham was, that He is the I am. But that's who Jesus is. And it's just a special and profound reality that we get to experience in our gospel, that our God would humble Himself to be like one of us. That whoever believes in Him, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him, whoever believes in Him, what kind of criteria could have God put on salvation? I'm so thankful this morning that the criteria that God put on salvation was faith. That whoever believes in Him, it doesn't say whoever does all the right things. It doesn't say whoever reads the whole Bible. It doesn't say whoever prays every day. He could have put any criteria on there. Whoever is sinless. Whoever stands on their head the longest. Whoever eats cheesecake. Whoever, whatever. He could have done whatever he wants. And he made the criteria for salvation believing, faith. Whoever believes in him. Sometimes the word believing is important to think about. It's not wishing. Believing and wishing are different. Believing prompts us to action. Believing is laying hold of a hope, something more and greater. It's not just sitting around wishing or believing that Jesus exists. It's believing in what He's done and believing in His message of salvation, putting our faith in that. That whoever believes in Him, whoever believes in what He's done. Faith is what gets things done in the kingdom of God. Faith gets things done. It's kind of, in a way, we've likened it sometimes. I talk about money gets things done in our reality, right? If I want something accomplished, I fork over money and that stuff tends to happen. But in the kingdom, faith gets things done. Faith moves God. It's impossible to please God without faith. Faith is important. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When we look at this scripture today, let it stir your belief in this profound thing that God has done for us as we celebrate Christmas. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It's a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? Thankful that God made this way for all of us? Probably one of the coolest things is that we will not die, but we'll have everlasting life. We will not perish, but we'll go on forever. If I could have the communion people start handing out communion. Of course, we know that this body dies, right? Sooner or later, this flesh gives up. And when it says they will not die but have everlasting life, it's not talking about the death that we experience in our reality here on earth. But the Bible speaks of a second death, that man dies and he faces judgment and goes on into eternity. Jesus Christ rescued us from something that we unfortunately deserved in the brokenness of mankind. The book of Ecclesiastes mentions that God has put eternity in the hearts of men. God has put eternity in the hearts of men. It's interesting, we've had all of this scientific development and things like that in recent years, and it's gained a significant following, and you know, that things like evolution and Big Bang theory and all this stuff on the scientific side. And what's interesting is that even though we've had a rise in atheism and things like that in recent years, still by far a vast majority of mankind believes in a higher power. They don't necessarily believe in God, all of them, like we do. They don't necessarily put their faith in Jesus Christ, but they believe that there's more to this than biology. You are more than a random conglomeration of cells and evolution. That's interesting that given a lot of the voices we hear out there, of course you've probably seen the statistic, like 90% of Americans claim to be Christians and those kind of things. People believe in eternity. There's something inside the design of mankind that believes in more than what we experience here. That we go on. Because God designed us that way. When Jesus, you know, we celebrate his birth and that he was born, and when he arrived, he was the fulfillment of thousands of years of foreshadowing and scripture. I thought about talking about all of the prophecies that were fulfilled with the coming of Jesus, hundreds of them out of the Old Testament. And even events like, you may recall from the story of the plagues when Moses led the people out of Egypt. Towards the end, there was a plague where the angel of death passed over the nation. And whichever homes didn't have the blood from a lamb smeared on the doorposts, the eldest was killed in those families. But then, when Jesus comes, there's a foreshadowing in that Passover, that death would come to the household that didn't have the blood from that was shed from a lamb on their home. But we know that Jesus was the fulfillment of that. That he became the Lamb on our behalf. That's why sometimes it's weird, some of the old hymns and stuff, you hear people singing about the blood of the Lamb and those kind of things, and it kind of freaks people out that aren't used to the church world. Because they don't understand the meaning of it. But the meaning is that a perfect Lamb was offered. His name was Jesus Christ. And when we receive that, when we believe it, we go on to everlasting life. In the beginning, man was with God. Man spent time with God in the garden. And we know the story. Man became separated from God in sin. But something significant happened when, you know, we know that Jesus came and he came with a mission. And he grew up, and we don't know much about his growing up, but when he was 30 years old, he began to preach in Israel and teach. And by the time he 3 years had gone by, he was crucified. He was hung on a cross. And the moment that he died, there was a very large and thick curtain in the temple, the Jewish temple at the time. And what that curtain did is it separated the presence of God from men. You couldn't go in there except for once a year the high priest was able to go in there. And there was a lot of ceremonial things he had to do before he could even do that. And when Jesus died on the cross, that curtain that separated the presence of God from men split from top to bottom. And if you check out the statistics on that curtain, it was no small feat for that curtain to split. But what did God do by sending his son? He brought a reconciliation between man and God. He brought man back to where he could be in the presence of God. That by believing in Jesus Christ, by putting faith in that sacrifice of his perfect son, we then could be reconciled to God himself, restoring mankind. We have a lot to celebrate tomorrow, you guys. And we have a lot to be thankful for. To commemorate Jesus' death, we do communion. And we pass out the bread and the wine or the juice. And the Bible says that when we do this, we proclaim his death until he returns. So there's still more good news coming too for God's people. Jesus returns. So when we eat this bread and we drink this cup, we celebrate his death and his resurrection. We proclaim it and we remember that he returns for us. I'm just going to give these guys a few minutes to finish. Thank you, Jen. One left. Okay. Oops. Thank you. Just going to set this here. When Matthew chapter 26 is one of the accounts of the Last Supper. And like I told you, they had gathered together, Jesus and his disciples, and they were celebrating Passover. They were remembering the time that the angel of death passed over God's people because the blood of the Lamb had covered their sin and the angel had passed over them. And they did this every year. They celebrated it. And Jesus gathers with his disciples and they break bread together. I was recently visiting with one of our network leaders. He was talking to an African pastor and the African pastor was frustrated with us Americans because the bread's already all broken up by the time we get it. He said, you need to break bread when you do communion. And when the bread is broken, when we break it off of the loaf, we're reminded that the body of Jesus Christ was broken on our behalf. That he stood in the gap, if you will, that he paid the price. That while we should have paid the penalty of eternal death, he steps in as the perfect lamb and does that for us. Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Let's bless the bread. Lord God, we are so grateful today as we celebrate you sending your son on our behalf. We pray that you would bless this bread and this cup today as we remember what you did for us. In Jesus' name. I would ask you, before you take the bread, do that. You just have a little piece here, but break this bread. Break the bread and then take it, remembering that the body of Jesus Christ was broken for you. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." When Jesus died on the cross, a new agreement between man and God took place. An agreement in blood, a covenant, in which those who would believe would not die, but would have everlasting life. Lord God, we are thankful for the shedding of blood and for the agreement you've made with us, that something we couldn't earn, something we couldn't be good enough ever to deserve, but you graciously have given us. Thank you for that. Amen. Go ahead. Are you thankful this morning? As you're reminded of the reason we celebrate, give thanks to God. For those of you that question your own situation with God, remember that verse that I shared with you today, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. That while when motivated by love for you, God sent his son, that whoever would believe will not die. And if you're challenged in your heart this morning, you're like, "I'm not sure that's me," I would encourage you, give it to God. Give lordship of your life to him. Put your faith in him. Follow him. He'll lead you in the way everlasting, the scripture says. Lord, I pray for all the families here today and all the individuals. Lord, I pray that you bless their Christmas. Lord, that you bless their time with their families. Lord, I pray for peace in these homes. Lord, I pray for good, healthy communication. Lord, I pray for bonding, good bonding relational things to happen in people's families this weekend. Lord, I pray for those that are grieving through the holidays, God, that are missing loved ones and struggling through that. Lord, I pray that you would bring peace to them and comfort them in their mourning, Lord. Lord, we pray for those that do not celebrate you. God, would you continue to pour out your grace upon mankind? Lord, continue leading those you love to you and being reconciled to you, God. Pray a blessing over all these families today. In Jesus' name, amen. Merry Christmas, you guys.
For more information, visit our website at www.mounthelena.cc. Download our mobile app, available in iTunes and Google Play. Be sure to check us out on Twitter and Facebook.